time to get organized in your life. You may have heard that before or told yourself the very same thing, but where to start? Welcome to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. Join us today as we focus on a part of your physical or emotional space that could use some help decluttering. Now, here's Meryl Starr.
Good morning, everyone. Another glorious, glorious day. The sun is shining and it's absolutely beautiful out. If I only had an extra hour today. Anyway, that is the topic, how to find your 25th hour. Does it seem like your world is just spinning faster and faster? And are your to-do lists getting longer and longer? You're not alone. You know, no matter how good we are at time management, there never seems to be enough hours in the day. We could all use that 25th hour. Unfortunately, that's not possible. So, you need to find out where your time drainers are and then figure out how to eliminate them. Thus, reclaim an hour in a day. Join me later as I talk to Samantha Edis, author and radio talk show host. Her specialty is coaching the busiest parents on the planet. So I'm really excited to talk to her. Also dropping in is my sister-in-law, Real Housewives of New York star and gorgeous mother of four, Aviva Drescher. But before we meet them, I want to talk about the to-do list or your to-do list. By the way, I'm going to be reading from and really referring to from my book, The Personal Organizing Workbook. It can be purchased and downloaded from Amazon if you're interested, if you want to follow along. I love it. It's the sequel. The first book was The Home Organizing Workbook, and the second one is The Personal Organizing Workbook, and it covers topics as relationships, staying organized, stuff, lots of resources, and your to-do list, which I'm going to be going over today. It's great. I really love it. You know what? It's pretty. It's colorful. It's filled with lots of tips, ideas, and solutions. And the fact that you could download it from Amazon, or directly from my website under Portfolio, you can get it. I think it's like $11.99. And it's just fabulous just to have tips and ideas and products and projects at your fingertips is really great. So anyway, I'm wondering how many of you are saying I'm so busy, because somehow that statement has become a socially acceptable form of bragging. You know, we all pride ourselves on work ethic and love to feel in demand. But is anyone really that much busier than anyone else? And how much are we actually getting done? Are we busy living our dreams or just busy keeping busy? According to a Life magazine survey of Americans a few years ago, 55% of us, more than half of us, spend most of our spare time doing chores instead of the things we actually want to do. The study revealed that our top priority for weekends was spending quality time with loved ones. Well, that's no surprise there, right? But when it really comes right down to it, we spend much of our precious weekends grocery shopping, doing housework, doing also work that we brought home from work, running miles and miles of errands, and then flopping down because we're totally exhausted in front of the TV. So after working with many stressed out, busy clients over the years who felt that they were forever failing behind their busy schedules, I'm convinced that most of us are spending our days on busy work that we'd be much better off without. So instead of filling our lives with meaningless chores and the stress that comes with them, we all need to focus on the ones that actually count and save the rest of our time to unwind, relax, imagine, and connect. In the to-do chapter, we'll start cutting those endless to-do lists down to size, eliminating some tasks, and delegating and consolidating others. By the time you're done, you'll get your errands down to one single solitary day a week. Well, we're hoping for that one. And some of those errands will begin to look a lot like, believe it or not, fun. How great is that? But best of all, best of all, you'll finally have some time to call your own. At first, I understand you might have a hard time setting aside a few hours of personal time. We all do. A week. But there's so much else to be done. So consider this. Downtime is your most productive time. If you want to make big things happen for yourself, your family, your friends, and your world, first, you have to give yourself enough time to dream big. So perfect. I want you to start to think about some of these questions, and some of them will answer, and some of them you're just going to have to work through, but they're important. So, are you chronically late? How often do you forgo sleep in order to get things done? Do you tend to avoid to-do lists? Do you ever feel overwhelmed by that mile-long to-do list? I know people do, because it is overwhelming for something so long and you don't even know where to begin. But on a good day, how many items on your to-do list do you manage to get through? Think about that one. Do you know once you create a to-do list, and once you have a firm list, once you start crossing things off that list, the feeling is just fabulous. You're accomplishing something. You're getting something done. I also want you to think about how many hours a week do you spend running errands, and how much mileage are you putting on your car? Are there certain responsibilities that always seem to fall through the cracks? And how many days a week do you start the day feeling rushed? For me, feeling rushed at the beginning of the day sets off a whole rushing tone to the day. That's why when we create a to-do list and we know what we're going to do, I always tell my clients, create a master to-do list on one pad and then pick things off that to-do list that you're going to be able to accomplish in the day. One of the most popular problems is that people say, I will never get through my mile-long to-do list. Believe me, I know how you feel. And so does at least half the country. The staggering to-do list we set up for ourselves enough to wear down even the perkiest youngsters. That was another thing according to a Life magazine study. Half of the adults aged 18 to 24 end their weekends feeling exhausted rather than recharged. I mean, I really understand that. Everybody's out partying and having a good time. But now here's the good news. Today's the day you're going to beat those odds. You're going to start by taking a hard look at your most recent to-do list. Which of these line items are rewarding? Which seems to have a permanent place on your to-do list? And which ones just make you groan? You want more of your list to fall into the first category, of course, fewer into the second one, and none at all into the third category. So how are we going to do this? Simple. We are going to prioritize, set reasonable goals, make tasks as fun as possible, and make no an active part of your vocabulary. Despite what you might have heard, you don't actually need a fairy godmother to get done with your chores and start having a ball. Once you put some of these tips into place, you'll discover that you'll have the power to change to-do into ta-da. One tip here that I think is really great is to consolidate your lists. And I just want to talk about a client research of mine A client of mine recently made my day by sharing this time management triumph. She said, "I used to keep several to-do lists in different places. If I was sitting in the kitchen and thought of something I needed to do, I would write it down on a little scrap of paper. Then I'd have scraps of paper in all the rooms of my house. Now I write everything down in one book. If I'm on the phone and somebody asks me to do something, I say, 'Hold on a minute, let me get my book.' That way, I don't find myself scrambling to keep track of little slips of paper or trying to remember all the things I'm supposed to be doing. So thank you for sharing that. It's so important. And again, we need to consolidate those lists. We don't want to have 10 million lists all over the place. It's too confusing. So let's all take that advice. But as far as tips, you know, for getting through that mile-long to-do list, what we want to do, again, is we want to make your priorities into urgent action items. What are the things that are most important to you? Let's say right now your priority is your love life. Could be your career or your family, but you want to turn that action into that action item into something fun. Like if you're working on your relationships, a romantic evening would be something that you would want to create. Or having, if you need to have more time with your friends, having a heart-to-heart with a friend, or just having some fun. So that's making your priorities into urgent action items. The second thing that you want to do is set reasonable goals. Sometimes you amaze yourself with how much you can get done, but don't count that happening all day, every day. We get tired eventually, and there are always factors beyond our control that interfere with our best intentions. So break down projects into manageable tasks. That's very important. Be realistic about how much time a task is likely to take. Get on a roll by grouping similar tasks together. You know, if like making phone calls or writing thank you notes, this can reduce the list of 10 tasks to 3 and make it seem so much less daunting. Getting started is always the hardest part, of course. And we want to make every task as fun as possible. And I think that's always so important. So you have to stock up on suntan lotion. Take a minute to consider how you could make that ho-hum task more fun. You can call up a friend who's tried on sunglasses with you as you troll through the sun care aisle at the drugstore. Or build a bigger time buffer into your schedule so you can take a few minutes to check out funny birthday cards. Or go to the little mom-and-pop drugstore in your neighborhood instead of the huge one with all the fluorescent lights across town. It's worth paying a few extra cents for your lotion if it saves you gas and a headache. So these are just a couple of organizing solutions that you could start working on with your to-do list. So that's great. Again, all that came from the personal organizing workbook. And I urge you to go to Amazon and pick that up. Something for you all. Oh, something else for you all to try is to try and track your activities for the week going forward from here till next week and see where you're wasting time and see if you can readjust that by using that time for yourself. Do something special, something inspiring, or something motivating. You totally deserve it. Anyway, it's time for me to take a very quick break. This is Meryl Starr, and you're listening to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr on Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Could you use some more organization in your life? Sure, we all could. But where to start? In the home? At work? With yourself? The answer is very likely yes, yes, and yes. Tune in to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. It's all about how to let go of the clutter in your life, from the personal issues to the physical spaces. Meryl and her guests will work on a different area to improve each week so you can take back control in your life. Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr.
Hi, welcome back. That was a very brief break, but I brought with me Samantha. Hi, Samantha. Are you here?
Hello. Good morning.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you so much for getting up so early for me this morning and for all of us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. From the West Coast. You know what? I have three kids, so we're always up early anyway.
Great. Is it a glorious day out by you?
Right now it's in the 60s, but yeah, it's pretty much consistent. It's always in the 70s here. So,
that's wonderful.
I know you're so into time, and I think it's so funny how people on the West Coast love to talk about the weather, even though it's the same all the time.
I know.
So I think it's the one thing that we should cut out of our life is talking about the weather. It's so silly.
I know. I love, love, love the weather. So, but it's always great for me. Like today, it's a beautiful sunny day. It's probably around 30, but it's glorious.
Wow. I love that attitude.
So anyway, when we were talking last night, you know, we were talking about, you and I were talking about what we were going to talk about this morning, and you mentioned the website, which I'm definitely going to get to because it's fabulous, it's colorful, it's beautiful, but I did get your book last night, The Expert's Guide to 100 Things, and
yeah.
I know that you really didn't want to talk about it that much, but I have to because it's so fabulous.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoy it. That's
Listen,
great.
I couldn't put it down, Samantha, because it was so interesting. So please, I want to ask you, how did you come up with this idea?
So, you know, I always felt like I was overeducated. I went to an Ivy League school. I had a great education, but in some areas, I was completely lacking. And they were the basics. You know, I didn't have the mom who taught me how to set a formal table or how to write the perfect personal note or, you know, how to flirt the right way. There were all these basic things that I really always felt like I called it my knowledge gap. And when I talked to other people, I asked what was in their knowledge gap. And the top 100 things I decided to put in a book as topics. Now, each of these topics, of course, has its own sort of book, right? There's etiquette books,
yeah,
and there's romance books. But I decided to go to the leading expert in each category and have them write sort of the Cliff Notes version of their expertise. So I approached Donald Trump to write a chapter on how to negotiate, and Bobby Flay wrote a chapter on how to barbecue,
mm-hmm,
and Jennifer Capriati on how to hit a tennis ball, and they each wrote their Cliff Notes, and so that's the book. You know, people like to tell me it's great bathroom reading, but
it
putting
is.
Together, you know, the Expert's Guide was really fun. It was a great experience.
It is fabulous, and everybody could get it. It's available on Amazon. You sent it to me from Amazon. It's just fun. It's informative, and how long did it take you to find all those experts?
You know, that was kind of on my side thing, you know, on the side of my full-time,
mm-hmm,
job when I put it together. So it took me about a year and a half. But
mm-hmm,
then I did three more books in the Expert's Guide series. And when I did those, I mean, each of those took me about 6 months because at that,
mm-hmm,
point I knew that the part that actually ironically takes me the longest is selecting the perfect expert in each category. Because
well, of course.
I was
of
kind
course.
Of fanatical about it, and I went about – I contacted all of them through cold calling.
Mm-hmm.
So there was, you know, the only person I knew was Cory Booker before the book was completed. So it was,
mm-hmm,
all cold calling.
Fabulous. Well, I congratulate you on this. And
so
last night I couldn't put it down, and I said, you know what? I don't know how many are there here. How many? There's 100 tips.
There's 100 chapters. Yeah.
I had a hard time, but I needed to pick out 10 of them, and I just want to share them with everybody out there because there are just things that you wouldn't even think of. Like number 13, like washing your hands. I had no idea you have to continue to rub your hands together for 20 seconds. You know, it takes that long. The soap and scrubbing, you know, action to dislodge and remove stubborn germs. I mean, that's just something that's so basic and so important for all of us to know.
I know. It's really funny. When I ask people what their favorite chapter was, they often say How to Wash Your Hair by Frederick Fekkai. And you
right.
think, okay, well, we all do that every day. But you learn some nugget of information
yes.
each one.
That's why the book is so fabulous. And then number 18, which is drive a stick shift, which I know how to do, but I do have a problem with the clutch. So I was really enjoying you know, reading that. And it is so great that you have all these fabulous, you know, experts from all their fields. Number 29, just to learn how to listen. And this one was from Larry King. And I love what he said. I never learned anything when I was talking.
That's right.
And I love that. That was great.
Yeah.
And painting a room, so, you know, basic, but really, you know, great. And let's see what else. Oh, another one that I really love was make a martini. That's just fabulous. And then it was hitting a golf ball because I am a golfer, and that was really helpful.
Okay.
And breathe, just to learn how to breathe and the practice of yoga.
By Bikram,
so,
I know.
Yeah. Just absolutely fabulous. Coming down to my last two favorites was Flirt. I mean, chapter 82, How Perfect by Susan Rabin, author of 100 Ways to Flirt. I've never seen anything like that before. I think it's fabulous. I think that everybody should give that to, you know, their daughters. And lastly, because it is just so sexy, is chapter 84, Kiss.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
That is an amazing chapter. I mean, the first line, kissing is one of the most intimate sexual acts you can experience. And it's so true. And how she goes on to every single, you know, detail to start slowly and tenderly and relax your mouth, but not too much. Just spectacular.
It really makes you want to go reread it.
I would read. Yeah, that. I mean, this is great. I think it's great. So I thank you so much for sending this to me and sharing it, because I absolutely love it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
So getting back to you and what you do, and I just want you to tell everybody the website, because it's Working Moms Lifestyle.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, I work with sort of what I call the busiest moms on the planet,
mm-hmm.
and I, you know, from professional athletes to CEOs to, you know, just everyday moms who are doing a zillion things in a day,
mm-hmm.
and try to help them organize their lifestyles for happiness. You know, over time, I've worked with thousands of working moms, and I developed a website called the WorkingMomsLifestyle.com. So it's www.workingmomslifestyle.com. And we have a very vibrant Facebook community, actually, which is facebook.com/workingmomslifestyle,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, every day I post a different parenting article or career article that relates to life as a really busy mom. So it's been great. Yeah, I mean, it's such rewarding work, and I really feel like it's such a great time to be a working mom. There are so many things that have changed over the last 20 years to make it a great lifestyle and
mm-hmm.
financially independent. So it's
great.
Really wonderful.
Yes, totally agree. And I love the way the website is laid out. First of all, the colors are so friendly. And it's so easy to use. I love that you have, like, health, self, money, romance, kids, home, career. It's all right out there. If you want information, you know, about those topics, it's just right there. So that's really great about it. And I love your videos.
Oh, I'm so glad.
They're fabulous. So, you know, if we were talking about kids, and I just clicked on kids, and you say that there are 8 essential gifts to give your child.
Yeah.
And this is so important, and I think so many of us don't even think about it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm someone who it's almost like a curse, because I can't stop watching. Just like I'm sure when you see a disorganized bag, you're like,
mm-hmm.
it makes you feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
Or a disorganized house, you just want to fix it, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like that when I would sometimes see people relating to their kids, because I think it's easy to forget how new our kids are in this world. And I don't even like to use the term whining when we talk about our kids, because the bottom line is they don't have the same vocabulary we do.
Absolutely.
And so the only way sometimes that they can connect with us is through crying or whining, because they don't have the words to explain their feelings. So one of the first things that is so important to give our kids is the gift of empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, being an empathetic adult, we all know adults who have no empathy, and it makes it really hard to form close relationships for them.
Absolutely.
And the way our kids learn empathy is through us. And so they model us. And so even when our child is frustrating us and they're making us, you know, feel crazy because they don't stop whining or crying, it's important to validate their feelings by just saying, even if it's an irrational thing that they want, if they say, I want two desserts, let's say, and you say, you can't have two desserts, well, they're going to keep crying. But saying to them, I know you really, really wish you could have two desserts. You wish you could have five desserts.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, yes, yes. And then they feel heard. And
yes,
the crying stops.
So it's really important.
It's just, you know, it's just like when we complain to our friends or our spouses or whatever, and they say, oh, you shouldn't be upset about that. We just get angrier, right? We just want someone to
Absolutely.
Be like, you're totally right, you know.
Absolutely. And great, too. So important to think about with our children.
Yeah.
And then giving the gift of unconditional love.
Yeah, I mean, there's sort of this myth that you can love your children too much and spoil them with love, but there really isn't. You can spoil them by buying them too many things,
yes,
but you can never spoil your child with too much love.
Ever, ever, ever. And that's so
ever.
Important.
And then also just listening to our kids. Sometimes each of our kids is so different, and just like you don't want to, you know, if you were in sales and you were selling to a bunch of clients, you wouldn't want to use the sales pitch for every client. It's the same thing with your kids. You can't parent the exact same way with every child. Every child comes out completely differently. They have totally different personalities and needs and wants, and it's really important to parent to type, and part of that is just listening to see who your child is. There's this amazing life coach, Martha Beck. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Yeah.
I interviewed her once, and she was saying to me that she was actually in bed sick for most of her kids' childhoods, like really ill. And that when and she's very close with her children today, and they say that the most important thing that she did for them was that she really saw them for who they were. And so even from her bed, she just listened and could see them for who they were, and that was more important than anything.
And there's a sense of respect there when you do that.
Right,
when you
exactly.
really listen to a child and really hear them and really go down to the level and look at them eye to eye is so important.
That's such a great point. I so agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, and then also I think, you know, I have my own radio show, which is Working Moms Lifestyle Radio, and I on my radio show I take callers with problems. And a lot of times callers will call me and say that they can't, let's say over Christmas I had a couple calls with people who said they couldn't afford to buy their kids gifts. And it's heartbreaking. But
sure.
at the same time, that kind of feeling, first of all, Christmas is only one day and Hanukkah is only 2 days. So the most important thing is keeping the holiday season fun for your kids. And I just think this relates so much to having a happy lifestyle with your family, because it's not about money. You know, we've all seen people with a lot of money who are not happy. It's
Absolutely.
All about what kind of attitude you bring into your home. And so we came up with ideas of things they could do with their kids that had nothing to do with money. So having a holiday baking day and talking about it weeks in advance so the kids would be excited about it, or having a holiday homemade decorations day where they're just making decorations and decorating their windows and their door with decorations they do together. And just, you know, having those rituals and having things that keep your kids excited about the little things is so important for all of our homes.
So important. And, Samantha, it's so important to start that early on, you know, and it's putting the importance on life, living, happiness, fun, instead of putting the importance on material things, toys, books, games, and things like that.
Exactly. That's so right. And, you know, and then the other thing I talk about a lot in my work is just the importance of giving your kids a strong body image. And
yes.
know, I like to say that if a child catches you loving your body, she will learn to love hers.
Absolutely. And that's something that so many people really don't have. You know, we all want to be, you know, thinner or, you know, prettier or more in shape. But once we give that security to our children and let them know that they are perfect and great just the way they are, it's a true, true gift.
Exactly, because, you know, the bottom line is that even with body types, most of us have a set weight, right? And so, you know, you could lose 40 pounds, but the bottom line is you're going to gain it back eventually, and you'll always be within a certain weight range that you're born with. So you can change things a little bit, but not that much. And the most important thing for a child is that they love their body, and it doesn't matter what shape it is. And the bottom line is that the most confident people are the ones that love themselves no matter what weight they are, no matter what they're wearing, and you want that for your kid. And, you know, when I first had my first child, I kind of made a commitment to myself that I would never have a wardrobe crisis in front of a child. And as women, that's hard to do, right? We're used to throwing off 20 outfits before we go out the door sometimes.
I know.
So I made myself stick with the first outfit I put on because I didn't want them to replicate that behavior.
Wow.
And my kids don't change. They really don't. My girls never think to change their outfits once
that
they have an outfit
so
on.
That is so great. My daughter changed 3-4 times a day. She just loves playing dress up. There was a morning outfit,
funny.
There was a school outfit, there was an after school, but that's really great. I really like that.
Yeah. So anyway, so I think it's a lot of little things that can change behaviors in your home. And then, you know, I think just not comparing yourself to others. So, you know, I always tell a story when I was a little girl, my mom would always, if I came home and said I got an A, she'd say, well, what did the two kids next to you get? Like she wanted to know if they all got A's.
Right.
And that's just a bad way to be because you want to learn to be happy for your results regardless of the results of the people around you.
100%. And that is so, so huge.
Yeah. So just, you know, helping your child have a goal, which is to achieve their personal best, whatever the best they can do is. And when I work with working moms, I say the same thing. Like, forget the, you know, you have time constraints or you have money constraints. Everyone, or personal constraints because you're a single mom. Whatever it is, you want to work within those parameters to be the best you can be given the circumstances.
Absolutely. And that's so true. And so you're working with so many women that have careers and they're working moms. And what are some of the, you know, the basic things that that you tell them to manage their families and their career? And is it possible to have it all?
First of all, you know, we have to define having it all. I think for most women, they say women who have something outside the home, who have some sort of career, are happier moms. Because
right.
they're more fulfilled. And think about it, if you did the same exact thing all day, every day,
so true.
With no adult interaction, it's really hard, right?
So true.
So when we have careers, we are more fulfilled. And on top of it, you know, the bottom line is that a mom is a mom when she's at work. She's a mom, too. She's just supporting her family financially, right? Our job is to, our number one job is to keep our kids safe, and one of those ways is to protect them financially. And so working does that. One of the crucial things I say to single women is marrying the right person is probably the most important predictor of your success as a working mom.
Interesting and true. I could see that. Could you, yeah, like what
if you don't marry someone who's going to support your dreams in your career, you're done. Forget
you're done.
About it.
You're totally
it's impossible.
Done. Yep.
You know,
so
you don't,
important.
Because it's too hard on a daily basis parenting to not have a partner by your side.
It's so true. That's so important for everybody out there, you know, listening, that is dating someone or that is just single, because you're picking somebody, you want to pick somebody that is going to support you in whatever you want to do, whether it's
absolutely. And then, you know, I have to say a lot of moms make the mistake on their own that once they do have a partner and they're married and they have a new baby, they don't let their husband touch the baby. And they say, oh, I'll do everything. And the bottom line is your husband's not going to wake up 6 months later and know how to change a diaper.
Right.
So from the very beginning, you need to find excuses to leave your husband alone with the baby.
It's
so,
so
that
true.
He learns to do every single thing. Short of breastfeeding, he can do everything you can. And if you have an important work meeting or whatever, he needs to totally pitch in just as you would for him.
It's so true. We really need to get them involved from the
exactly.
beginning. You know,
so I call,
and have
I call
the
it a partnership.
Confidence. Yeah, sorry.
Right? No,
having the, so funny. Having the trust and confidence in them.
Exactly.
That they can do that. And it also takes some of the pressure off of us.
Of course. And you know what? And short of endangering our baby, as long as they're putting on the diaper, even if it's not perfectly the way you would do it, it's
right.
fine.
Right.
And we often criticize. Instead, catch him doing something right, and he'll want to do it more often.
Absolutely. You know how
so,
we need
you know,
to work
I
those
call
men.
It, Yeah, and I call it a partner shift. Like, yes. You need to get your husband in the game or your partner in the game, because otherwise it's very hard to be a successful working mom. So that's one critical part. And then the other thing I talk about is nurturing your marriage. If you're married, it's super important. There's no such thing as a happy home without a happy marriage.
Totally.
So I've seen happy homes with single parents, and I've seen happy homes with happily married parents. But there is no happy home with a miserable marriage.
No,
so
not at all.
So having a weekly date night is a prescription for success. Mm-hmm. You need alone time with your spouse. And a lot of working moms, ironically, think that they don't have time for a date because they feel so guilty that they're away from their kids,
right,
that they don't want to then spend time alone with their spouse. But you need to think of it as, when you're leaving the house with your spouse alone to do something alone with him, you're actually investing in your family.
Absolutely.
And that, in the long run, benefits the kids.
Absolutely, because, you know, I think also that a lot of couples, you know, these days that are married and are unhappy in their situations and are staying together for the children are not doing the best thing for their family.
Absolutely.
Because
they're not doing anyone a favor, because kids are so smart. In fact, you know,
so intuitive.
Going back to what we said earlier, if your kid is really acting out, there's usually something. It parents will say, oh, of course, on the day I have that huge deadline, my kid's having a tantrum. You think? Of course your kid's acting out, because they see your tension and they absorb it.
Right.
So our kids are totally mirrors of us. And so when we're super calm, it's typically our kids are super calm. And when we're really high stress, your kids are more high stress.
Yes.
And they reflect us. And so it's just really, really important to, you know, to invest in that sort of happy home. And then the other thing I talk about is there's other ways to really help. I mean, one of the things I like to tell moms is to live your work life like a train schedule. So if you have to go to an office every day, you know, if you're leaving every day, sometimes at 6 and sometimes at 7 and sometimes at 5, it's not only making you nuts, it's making your family and your caretakers nuts.
Yes.
Your caregivers nuts, because they never know when to expect you and your kids. If you have an office job, you know, make it known that you work your butt off when you're there, but you have to leave every single day. Let's say it's, pretend you take the train. Let's say it's 5:20, whatever it is, that's your time that you leave every day. And that way, no one is putting something on your desk at 5 o'clock or trying to schedule a meeting at 5:30.
Yes.
And it just makes your whole life run more smoothly. Of course, there will be exceptions. But when your family knows that 90% of the time they can expect you at 5:30 or 6 or whatever time it is, everything runs better.
Absolutely. It's about having boundaries and, like what I said before, being able to say no.
Yeah.
You know, to not stay at that office after the time, you know, having boundaries and giving everybody a schedule. Everybody knows when you're coming and going, and I think that makes it easier for the whole family.
That's exactly right. And that's just, that's, you know, predictability is such an important part of a kid's childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's healthy for you. And I always say, beware of the flex time fantasy, because women with flexible careers, and I'm included in that,
mm-hmm,
sometimes end up trapped in this sort of quicksand, because every day they have to make a decision. Well, they could go pick up their kid at school, or they could work on that deadline that's a month away. It really is death by 1,000 cuts on a daily basis. And so instead, I recommend that you behave as though you have an office job. So you calculate how many hours a week you need to work, and every day you say, I work from 9 to 3, or whatever it is that are your hours, you set them as though you have an office job. Otherwise, you'll get nothing done.
Yes, another great idea. Yep, for sure.
And then, you know, I like to say, move all of your errands in the golden triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So every errand you have should take place between work in your home and your kids' schools.
Right,
so
makes it a little bit easier.
You should not be traveling an hour to a hairstylist. Like, there's
mm-hmm
a great one in that golden triangle.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And, you know, I talked about that and, you know, in the opening, those to-do lists and combining and consolidating. So you're not wasting time. And so you are doing those things on the way to and from. It's basically the only way that you could really get it all done.
Right. No, it's true. And then in terms of getting your partner involved, I recommend a Sunday night meeting over a glass of wine or tea. You go over the entire week schedule, and you talk about who's doing dinner each night and what's for dinner, and very specific, who's doing each pickup, what's going on with lunch boxes, any special days at school, any business meetings or dinners that night. Whatever it is, you're just starting the week on the same page. So even
love
if things
that.
Change, it's little adjustments.
Right. Love that, Samantha. That's so perfect. You're right. Every family, the parents should really sit down and plan and organize the week. You know, who's taking them to the doctors? Who's picking them up? Who's making the lunches? It's starting off the week on the right foot. It's being organized and getting it all together. And it makes you feel better when you know what's going to happen. Of course, there are going to be things that are going to jump up. But if you have a schedule and a plan, you're really starting the week off easily.
Exactly. Totally agree.
It's fabulous. Wow. This is just so great, because your tips are absolutely fabulous. And I'm so looking forward to the new books that are coming out. Which is the one that are you writing one right now?
Right now I'm working on a book for working moms and their lifestyles. And because I almost think of it as you need to design a lifestyle that's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
So just as, you know, if you needed a home office, you would redesign your home to make room for that home office.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. If you're a working mom, you need to design a life that makes everyone in the home happy. And that means reconstructing the schedule. It means reconstructing how, you know, your commute, every part of your life, you know, picking out your clothes the night before, whatever it is, you need to be working sort of like a well-oiled machine so that it makes it happen. And part of being a happy working mom is having those pockets of time with your partner or with your friends or doing things for yourself that make it so that you bring more happiness into the home
because
you're more well-rounded.
Yes, that's so important. And I want everybody to hear that again, and the importance of doing something good for yourself, because it's only when you're feeling good and when you're feeling strong and when you're feeling organized that you can give to others and to your family.
It's so true. You know, I had lunch recently with Pamela Druckerman, who wrote these books about French parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And she shared with me that in France, it would be the most embarrassing thing in the world to brag that your life is all about doing drop-offs and pickups.
Mm.
That going, you know, shuttling your child from one place to another, if you sort of bragged about like, oh my gosh, I'm always with my kid, that would make you a bore. And that in France, when you walk down the street, you would never know a mother from a non-mother.
Right.
Because everyone puts themselves together and works hard to look good and takes pride in themselves and is a social being.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have date nights there, she said. It's just, we're going out. Isn't that funny? She said, just going out because that's something we do normally.
That's so interesting. Oh, that's so interesting. Oh, I'm definitely going to have to check that out.
It's just a cultural shift. And so we've gotten into this place in America where we have this sort of intensive parenting culture where who could be more focused on their child and spend more hours in a day with them. And that's actually really bad for your kids. The more fulfilled and independent you are, and the more you can help them be independent, right? Because our job as parents is to help them eventually fly on their own. And
that's
if we're constantly doing everything for them, they can't.
Yes, absolutely. They can't. They can't. Oh, this has been so wonderful. And, of course, our time is like flying by. But I loved your article on how to find a 25th hour in your day. It's fabulous. And I just want to give everybody, let's give them, you know, three things from that article that they can do. And, of course, the first one is to get organized.
Yes, exactly, which is your expertise more than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and another one is to outsource to your kids, and this goes along with the point we just talked about with raising autonomous children. But, so what age are they? If they're 5, they can get dressed on their own.
Mm-hmm.
If they're 7, they can pour their own cereal. Help them, put them in charge of things. It makes them feel great about themselves, and it makes it so that the whole family is getting involved. It's not just mom or dad running around like a crazy person doing everything for the home. You're all in it together.
Yep. It's true. And I just wanted to go back to the organizing because, like you said, like very simply, make sure your supplies are in the right places. Like every member of your family needs their own equivalent of the cubby in her backpack, the lunchbox, the homework, the shoes, all needs to live in one place.
Right. You know, now I live in California, so we have a mudroom where each person has their own area, their cubby. But in New York, we each had a basket. And in that basket is your kids' homework, their backpack, their lunchbox, their shoes for the next day. It's all right there so that you're not wasting that 5 minutes as you get out the door. Those are the 5 minutes that usually kill us, you know. They're the ones that make us late.
Absolutely.
So you're erasing that. And then the night before, your kids' outfits should be completely picked out.
Totally.
And by the way, Sunday is a wonderful time to make, like, three meals for the week so that
you're hitting the ground running.
Make a lasagna. You can do whatever it is. And even just knowing what the meals are for the week, that allows you that if you have a babysitter or nanny that's helping you, they can do that for you. Or on the way home, you know what to pick up at the market. And I always like to say, you know, your kids are just excited to be with you. So don't feel like you have to shield them from an errand of going to the drugstore or going to get gas in your car. They actually see that as time with you.
Absolutely.
And
another
fabulous
tip.
And bring them along. You know, don't fill your gas tank on the way home. Instead, do it when you're with your child on the weekend, because that's actually time together.
It's so true.
It's better to get home, you know, those 10 minutes earlier. And then it's the golden triangle I talked about, you know, going local and trying to find really local places to do your errands.
So much easier. And you're saving time. And there are, you know, we could always find great things right in our own neighborhood.
That's exactly right. And then also just being regular, you know, the more things that are regular. So if you know you're going to want to go out most nights, most weeks you're going to want to go out with your husband or with your friends, then have a weekly Saturday night sitter. And that way, it's already there. You're not scrambling last minute calling five sitters every time you want to leave the house.
Something you're counting on and depending on. And so are the kids.
Exactly. I mean, even if you're getting a weekly manicure, put it in your calendar.
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of working moms end up saying to me, oh, I can never make the school play, or I really want to volunteer at my kids' school, but I by the time that Friday comes around, I'm never available.
Yep,
so I always say, when you get your calendar for the school year, put in every last date, because the bottom line is, even if you are in the busiest job, if you block out school play 6 months from now,
it's there.
No
Absolutely.
One is scheduling a meeting on top of that school play or a business trip. It's
Absolutely. But I do need to stop you here. But this has been absolutely wonderful. And the tips were just great, Samantha. And I urge everybody to visit the website, because it's fabulous and you're fabulous. And I just want to say again, thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so glad. It was so wonderful meeting you. Thanks so much for having me, Meryl.
You're great. You're great. So we're just going to take a small, quick break, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Each week, you hear Meryl Starr give some great tips to getting organized on her radio show. But how can you find out more about Meryl and possibly use her organization services to your advantage? Visit MerylStarr.com. Meryl provides consultation to help you organize your personal space, your workspace, and your life space. Appointments are available by phone or by Skype. You can schedule your session at MerylStarr.com. Also, find out information about Meryl's books, available through Amazon. You need to get organized. Visit MerylStarr.com today.
Hello, and welcome back. I'm here with my gorgeous sister-in-law, Aviva.
Hi, Meryl.
Hey, gorgeous. How you doing?
I'm not as organized as Samantha.
I know. Wait a second. I have to tell everybody out there. For me, and you know, of course we did some work together, but I think you are completely, completely organized with all that you have to do.
That's because you love me.
I do. But you are. First of all, you always look good. The kids always look good. They're always on time for school. The bedrooms are already always organized. Everything is always together.
Oh.
How do you do it all?
Well, I have you as my sister-in-law, who comes in once a year and gives me, at least once a year, gives me some great tips.
I love you.
That's what we've maintained, which really, really helps.
It's so true. That's true. But you really do. We might have done your closet, but you followed those same tips and rules, and you did all the kids' closets.
Yeah, I did, because I followed the rules that you gave me for my closet, you know, with everything, and everything looks good. I'm trying to think of what I do. We have systems. We have schedules. you know, I try to keep everything looking neat. I just was going through my closets packing right now because we're all going to L.A. on Friday.
I know. It's so exciting.
And I just found, like, hundreds of garments that are too small for the kids from last summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely am huge on getting rid of things. Like,
yeah.
I'm not a hoarder. I may be a little bit of a nutty housewife, but I'm not a nutty hoarder. So I, like, get rid of everything whenever they've outgrown it, whether it's a book or a toy, mm-hmm. or, you know, any articles of clothing. I'm not particularly sentimental.
Right.
I'm sentimental about them, but not their things.
Mm-hmm, which is great.
Yeah, and so I just get rid of it as much as I can, and I also try to keep it really simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also got this from reading your books, which is that you don't really need so much stuff.
Right.
And especially in New York City, you know, where space is so limited, real estate is so precious because it's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want my apartment being filled with clutter.
Right.
So I try not to buy so much. You know, they just don't need that much. They're going to grow out of it in 6 months anyway. And as far as the toys, you know, I think today kids have too many toys.
I agree.
And they just sit there. They don't get played with, and they don't get used. They just collect dust, don't you agree?
I totally agree. It's funny. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday. And he was saying that, you know, the kids, of course, they have all these birthday parties and they wind up inviting, you know, most of the kids in the class. So, you know, what is it, 20 kids or 25
yeah.
kids? And, you know, every kid brings a gift. And so here at the end of the party, you're coming home with 20, 25 presents. And what
exactly.
do you do with them all?
Exactly. It's insanity. And then, like, you know, the moms, you know, what we do is we have all the kids write thank you notes, but they're, like, too young to even know what they're doing.
Right.
And you have, you know, I mean, I think, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of people take some of the gifts, put them in their closet, and re-gift them.
I understand.
Yeah, because, you know, and this whole concept of getting 25 gifts, you have to include the whole class. I mean, that's
right.
that's mandatory.
That's just
so you have
what
to invite the whole class.
Yeah.
But then you get these 20 to 25 presents. It's really spoiling the children.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. You know, what we do, one of the things that we try to do is we really only buy the children things. They only really get to open gifts on their birthday
mm-hmm.
and Christmas time.
Oh.
And that's it. So then it sort of makes it acceptable to have so many presents. Otherwise, it's kind of like a reward system. Like, if they earned it, you know, but with their allowance or whatever, then they can go and buy their own gift. Now, of course, you know that I'm a complete sucker and I never stick by this 100%. But I do try. I try not to buy them some things, you know, that, you know, in between the holidays and Hanukkah. You know, Hanukkah and Christmas, we do together.
Right. I love that. You know, I think you're a great mom, and the kids are just all so happy. And I just congratulate on being so busy, you know, with the show and your career and all the things that you do. I just congratulate you for getting it all done and doing it so well.
Well, you know, Meryl, without your advice, which you've given me so much advice, not only about you know, being organized throughout the years, but more so as a personal, you know, sister coach, you know, you've always told me to go easy on myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much whirling around. And, you know, we, in this era, we're so hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
And we're so perfectionistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you told me, like, to go easy on myself years ago, when my children started multiplying, that really helped. And so, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You know, I want to talk about your charity a little bit.
Okay, great.
Yeah, how's that all going? Tell us what the charity is so we can...
Great. My charity is A Step Ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we raise money to get children and adolescents prosthetic legs that their insurance companies won't pay for.
Wow, so great.
Yeah. And we also create athletic environments for children and teens, amputees, so that, you know, athletic environments where only their peers are amputees, so, you know, their self-esteem gets built.
That's fabulous.
And, the show has, and I also work a lot one-on-one with young amputees and new amputees.
How special
Mostly
is that?
Mostly women. I feel like women are more comfortable coming to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either young women or older women, people going through the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of that, and I probably enjoy that the most because the raising of the money is, I feel funny always asking people for money.
Right,
even though
right.
it's so needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I have other people asking for the money too, so that's good.
So that's a good thing.
Yeah, and, you know, the show has been just an incredible platform for all of, for me to be able to get the word out, to help
yes.
individuals and to raise money. It's been incredible.
Yes,
incredible.
It's fabulous. And
yeah.
also, do you have a book that's coming out anytime soon?
You know, I may.
Okay.
I have
that would
that
be
one.
Something that would be great. I'm sure everybody would love to hear about.
Yes, they're
going
to have
like
to. Yeah, it's we're going to have to keep that one in the family.
Yeah, and let's put that out there as a possibility because it's so nice. I know I enjoyed writing mine just to be able
yeah.
to share our thoughts and ideas, and that would be something great for, I'm sure there are zillions of people that would love to find out more about you and your world.
Oh, thanks, Meryl. Thank you. Because they just don't have enough of it on the television set. They need more.
Oh, definitely. More is better.
So we'll see. You know, I've got some projects coming up, and
right.
You know, it's you know, we're as you know, as castmates on Real Housewives of New York, a lot of filming and airing times are we're contractually not able to say anything about that.
Right.
So a lot of things I can't talk about.
But we're all watching you, so that's okay. So
I don't know if I love that people watch or not, but, you know, if people enjoy the show, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
It's entertainment.
Completely.
It's entertainment. So
Completely.
I know that you're so busy, Aviva, but thank you so much for being here today.
Oh.
I love you, and thank you again.
I love you too, Meryl. I love you too. I need a lot of your help soon.
Yes. I will.
All right, thanks.
See you soon. Thank you again.
Thanks. Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow. What a great show that was. Thank you to my guests, Samantha and Aviva, and to all of you for tuning in. Each week as we tune in, we focus on your life. Seeing the clutter will become clearer and clearer as you release it. You'll feel so much better. It's inevitable. Please visit my website, MerylStarr.com, for more information about me, my books, or to set up an appointment to continue this conversation. As always, I look forward to hearing from you via email, phone. Love hearing your stories. Love hearing your thoughts. Please feel free. Ask questions. All are welcome. And if you would like someone you know to hear this week's or any week's show, they are always available on my Blog Talk Radio homepage. My goal is to help you make a positive change in your life. So tune in each week as I focus on you. Thanks again for tuning in. Till next week, keep it simple.